Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're beginning last week, the sleeping in the arms of Jesus, resting in the arms of Jesus. This is where God wants us to be, especially in these times where everything seems to be hitting the church and the world, the nations. And Jesus teaches Luisa to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. And this is how we do it. So when you look at volume 3, May 20th, 1900, Jesus tells Luisa, all in nature invites one, the soul, to rest. So what we see in, like winter, the leaves fall off the tree. In summer, everything's full bloom and the sun is shining. And then there's evening and everything goes to rest. Everything goes to sleep. And Jesus tells Luisa, but what is true rest? Every human being needs rest. When you're younger, you don't need as much. As you're older, you don't need as much. But in between the times that God is giving us, rest is very essential. So Jesus tells Luisa, it is interior rest. It is the silence of all that is not God. What does this mean? Well, everything in of God, it's like the ocean. The waves come in and the waves go out. It's the murmuring of the seas, as Jesus tells Luisa, praising God, loving God, adoring God. The angels in heaven, the saints in heaven have no need of rest. Why? They're participating in God. And so what Jesus is saying is the interior rest is the silence of all that is not of God. So we have to participate in this rest because we're not completely one with God, fused with God. Revelation tells us that we'll have no need for the sun. Why? Because God will be our sun. And so Jesus says, look at the stars twinkling with tempered light, not dazzling like the sun. The sleep in the silence of all nature, of men and of animals, they all look for a place. They look for a den in which to be silent and rest from the tiredness of life. And Jesus tells us this. He says, come to me, all you that are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you, Jesus says. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. He says, he wants our souls to take rest in him. We need this rest. Spiritually, we need this rest. And this is why the church says you should make a retreat at least once a year to retreat from the world, to rest in God. And now what's really interesting is this. If you go on a month retreat, you will rest for about 15 days. You'll be very sleepy for about 15 days. If you go on a week retreat, you rest for about 3, maybe 4 days. If you go on a day retreat, you rest basically for a few hours. Why? What is going on? What happens? Grace. When you have grace, when you're full of grace, you become restful. You want to rest in the Lord. So a lot of people, when they first go on a retreat and they find themselves sleeping, they go, I don't know what's happened. I'm just so tired. Well, that's grace. Grace gives us this rest. When we are full of grace, we are resting in God. So this is what Jesus is saying. If this rest is necessary for the body, much more it is necessary for the soul to rest in her own center, which is God. So when we make a good confession, we can rest more. We can rest easily. If our conscience is disturbed, we can't rest very well. Why? because we're not returning to our own center. We're not returning to God. So Jesus teaches us this. But in order to be able to rest in God, interior silence is necessary. Many of us, when we're focused in this life, Jesus says to Louisa, you're murmuring these thoughts in your mind. He says, your discussions that you're having with yourself, these disturbances, he says, doesn't allow me, the Lord God Almighty, to help you. So he says to Louisa, stop this murmuring in your mind. You know, many people say, oh, if I only thought of this, I would have said this to this person. You know, this murmuring in our mind, our minds are not rested in God because we're fighting the human. We're fighting the misery that's around us with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So Jesus teaches Louisa to rest. Jesus teaches Louisa to, he says, when you're fighting within your mind of things that you want to do or should have done and didn't do, your conscience, the Holy Spirit, the holy angels asking you to get ready for a confession. And every night before we go to bed, we make a good confession. We confess our sins. This is what we did today. This is what we thought, said, and did, and failed to do today. And we say to the Lord, I'm very sorry. Tomorrow, I want to face these situations, these basically the seven deadly sins around us, and say, no, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient. It's a struggle. So what Jesus teaches Louisa is to have right here interior silence. Okay, so when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, this is a good way of developing an interior silence, especially in front of the monstrance. If we are praying, reading in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, we're keeping ourselves busy. We're keeping our minds busy. And this is why it's very, very important to learn how to have an interior silence. Looking at Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. This is what we're called to do. Our life as Catholics is to develop such a love for Jesus we can go to heaven. For example, St. Teresa tells us the only time that you can freely love Jesus is now. This is the only time you can freely love Jesus. When we die, when we go to heaven, we're going to see God as he is. We're going to become like him, and we're going to want to fall on our knees and adore him and praise him and love him and thank him and glorify him and worship him. We're going to see him as he is. And what God is asking of us is he's asking us to begin this life of heaven now on earth. May your kingdom come on earth, this soil, this dust, on earth as it is in heaven. So he says to Louisa, what are you supposed to do? He says, in order to rest in God, interior silence is necessary, just as exterior silence is necessary for the body to peacefully fall asleep. If there's a lot of noise around you, it takes a lot to fall asleep. But if there's silence around you, it's easier. And it's the same thing now Jesus is trying to teach us. To enter into this life with Jesus is to enter into this silence, this interior silence with Jesus and Mary. So we go back to the house of Nazareth and the silence that was there. I mean, it wasn't always talk, talk, talk. There was silence. Our Lady treasured all these things in her heart. Silence is very, very important. Jesus tells Louisa, those that are talking, he says, have little interior life. It's all exterior. There's silence shows the interior life. Silence shows the desire to listen to Jesus, to fall in love with Jesus. And again, you're not listening with your ears, but you're listening with your heart, your mind, your soul. This is what God is asking. So he says, but what is this interior silence? It's to silence one's own passions by keeping them in their place. See, we talked about the seven deadly sins. It's to silence this. No, this does not have life in me. No, this is not the life I want to live. You have to treat yourself in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels. They say to our holy guardian angel, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. You know, get me moving to love Jesus. Get me moving to be silent. Get me moving to control my passions. Get me moving. And we have to discipline ourselves as you would a little child. You would say to the child, you've got to do this. Come on, this is what's necessary. Okay. And so as you're entering into this life of silence, your mind will wander. You're going to find when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and without a book, without reading, without praying prayers, looking at Jesus, you're going to go, what do I do? Why? We don't know how to love Jesus yet. And Jesus is going to show us how to fall in love with him as Our Lady loves him. Jesus is going to show us how to begin to be filled with, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, worship you. But if your mind is being distracted from that, I love you to Jesus, we've got to discipline ourselves to do it. I remember being in the seminary when I was right out of grammar school. There was the minor seminary at the time. We were told to sit perfectly still. I still can't sit perfectly still, but it was to be in the morning for half an hour, in the evening, half an hour. In chapel, we had to sit with our hands on our lap, with our feet on the floor, and not to move. And for a teenager, it was torture. It was torture to be perfectly still. But it helped. It helped me to begin to understand silence before the Lord. Our humanity doesn't want that. Our fallen human nature doesn't want that. Our fallen human nature wants to be in charge, wants to do what it wants. That's our human will. I want this. I want to do this. I want to think this. I want to say this. And that's what the world teaches. When we enter into this communion with God, one with God, what happens is you begin to understand that what the world says you can do is not what God says you can do. What the world tells you, what the world expects of you is not what God expects of you. What God expects of us is to recognize who he is and fall in love with him. So this is what it says. To silence one's own passion. Okay. To keep the passions in their place. It is to impose silence on desires. Impose silence on human inclinations. Impose silence on human affections. In sum, all that does not call upon the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. We're going to be with God for all eternity. That's what heaven is. And we are going to be praising him and loving him and glorifying him for all eternity. Jesus is saying your place in heaven depends on how much you love him here on earth. As St. Teresa says, this is the only place where you can freely love God. To spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament is to begin to impose silence on your desires, on your inclinations, on your affections. This is what God is waiting for. So he's teaching Louisa how to spend time with Jesus. Now, Louisa, before 1900, used to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And when you go into the church of Our Lady of the Greca Church in Corrado, Italy, where she was baptized, where her body now lays in state, what did she do? Well, when you walk up to the right hand side of the main altar, there's a little square on the floor. It's to go down below to see, you know, the original church. That's where Louisa used to kneel. Father Bucci showed us this. He says, this is where Louisa knelt as a child, adoring God and loving God and praising God. This is before any of the blessings that God gave her by being in bed for 64 years. Archbishop Pacheri says 70 years. And I realized a couple days ago why he said 70 years ago. Because Louisa is when in her writings, when you're reading the calendar, Louisa says, in 1902, she said, I've been in this situation for the last 18 years. And I go, oh my goodness. We've always thought that she started in 1898. But here she's saying she's been in this state for 18 years. So it sends it back to what? To being with Jesus for 70 years. Why Jesus loves her so much. When Jesus told her to go to bed and stay there, she said yes, and she did. When Jesus told her to stop eating, she said yes, Jesus, fiat, yes, and she did. Stop drinking, fiat, yes, and she stopped. Stop sleeping, fiat, yes, and she did. None of us could have ever done that. Mm-hmm. Our human wills are very strong. This is why we go to confession each week. Our human wills are very strong. We've been polluted, if you want to say, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what Jesus wants to do is he wants to free us so that we can go back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to begin to live this abundant life that God has called us to begin to live. So this is what he says. Now, to silence one's own passions by keeping them at their place, it is to impose silence on desires, inclinations, affections, and some on all that does not call upon God. This communion with God. Now, what is the means to reach this? So now Jesus is going to teach us. The only means and absolutely necessary is for the soul, each and every one of us, to undo her own being and to reduce herself to nothing. If you haven't read The Nothingness, How to Live in Your Nothingness, it's very essential. This is how we begin. We're taught we are somebody. We are important. We are taught, you know, how to win awards and to receive degrees and to have all that the world offers. Jesus says, I want you to live in your nothingness. The more that you can live in your nothingness, what does that mean? I am nothing. God is everything. We don't look at our misery, but we look and focus on God. God, you are holy. I am a sinner. You are great. I am nothing. You are light. I'm in darkness. When we begin, see, it's not focusing on the negativity. It's focusing on who God is, how great, how glorious, how magnificent our God is. That's why when we enter into church, we genuflect. We say to Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my all. You are in charge of me. And I kneel before you. I genuflect before you to say, whatever you want is what I want. That's what a genuflect. You don't just bounce off your knee, but you begin to acknowledge Jesus in the tabernacle. You are my Lord and my Savior. That's why, again, after Holy Mass, after Holy Communion, Mass ends. The church does not want to interfere with our communion with God. And this is the time, that 15 minutes to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God, to truly worship God, to spend time recognizing our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our King. Our Lord loves us so much. So what does he say? The only means, then absolute necessity, is that the soul undo her own being and reduce herself to nothing. Now, when you begin to pray, when you enter into deep prayer, when you enter into the life of God, and all of us are called to do that. It's not just Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, the rattling off words. It's to enter into the life of God. You will experience your nothingness. What does that mean? You will experience yourself as tiny as an atom and as large as to fill a whole basilica. You enter into this abundant life where God says you are nothing, but I want you to enter into my all. I want you to enter into sharing in divinity. So this experience of nothing and everything is there in your prayer life. And you will experience this if you don't read and don't pray prayers, rote prayers. Enter into falling in love with God. Enter into your nothingness. And then what does Jesus say? When I see you in your nothingness, he says, then I can fill you with divinity. When I see you in your nothingness, I begin to understand that you are focused on God alone. I am nothing. You are everything. This is what God is asking. So he says this. The nothingness, just as she was, as the soul was before being created. This is entering into that speck of nothing compared to the infinite majesty of God. And so what our Lord is asking us to do, and this is one of the reasons why you need a spiritual director. This is very, very important. I remember praying when in the seminary and entering into this nothingness and entering, and when I got to this point, it was either this is going to sound strange, but it was either eternal death or physical death. And I got to this point, and I don't know what to choose. If I choose the wrong thing, I'll either be dead or eternally dead. And I don't know. So I went to my spiritual director, and I said, his name was Father Travassi, Francesco Travassi, a great man, a great priest. And I said to him, as a matter of fact, he was best friends with Archbishop Cassati. And Archbishop Cassati started the cause of Luisa in 1994 on the Feast of Christ the King, which is coming up soon. This is God wants us to know great things are in store. So anyways, I said to Father Travassi, I said, Father Francesco, what do I do? And he looked at me and he goes, don't pray like that. And it was so simple. For weeks, I'm into this prayer and I'm going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he made it very simple. This is what a spiritual director will do. He'll help you understand that there are three voices. There's Jesus's voice, which tells us what I have planned for you. And then there's our voice, which is, I don't know what to do. And then there's the evil one's voice, who says, basically, you are going to be condemned. These three voices are always there, and they all sound alike. With a spiritual director, what will happen, and make sure it's a priest. A priest is ontologically changed, alter Christus. I know there's some good lay people. I recommend going to a priest. I really do. It's very, very important. Well, what God, our God is showing us is, I forgot what I was saying. I got into that one point. Enter into this nothingness of the soul. Why? God possesses everything. He doesn't possess nothing. And what does he do with nothing? He brings nothing into abundant light. He brings nothing into a new beginning. And that's what he wants to do. So this is the only means to live, to enter into this rest with Jesus that's absolutely necessary is for the soul to undo her own being and reduce herself to nothing, just as she was before being created. And once the soul has reduced her being to nothing, the soul then must take it up in God, again in God. It's a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. To live in our nothingness, to say to God, do with me as you please. So what is God asking? God is asking that we be so docile to him, so surrendered to him, that he, the Lord God Almighty, can make of us a divine masterpiece. That's what's coming. He is going to make each and every one of us. This is what he tells Louisa. This is what he promises Louisa. If you live in your nothingness, he says, I then, as Lord God Almighty, can create you into a divine masterpiece that is of God. It's his masterpiece. He's the only one that can do this. We can't do this because of the human, but God can do this because of the divine. So our Lord is looking at us and he's saying, I want you to begin to enter into this resting in the arms of Jesus. But he says, you have to begin to live in your nothingness. You have to let God, I mean, it's a canvas. If you have a canvas and you paint it white and you put it down on the ground and you go, what am I going to do with this canvas? And somebody else comes in and says, you know, let's put this here. Let's put that there. Well, it's not yours. Jesus is saying, let me produce in you, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, a divine masterpiece that you're not even aware of what I'm going to do. You're not even close to what I, the Lord God Almighty, want to do. You might think, well, God's going to make me a sculpture and I'm marble and he's going to chisel me out and prick. No, he might have in his mind an etching, not a carving. And see, when we have an idea of something, what happens is we corrupt it. In your nothingness, without this murmuring in your mind, we stand before the Lord and we say, do with me as you wish. That's what Our Lady did. Fiat mihi. Do with me as you wish. I am the humble slave girl of the Lord. That's what Our Lady said to the Lord. Do with me as you wish. When we learn this, and this is what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, when we learn this new beginning, what happens? God has free will. So volume 3, June 3rd, 1900. This morning, while I was in my usual state, I saw my adorable Jesus for a little while. Now, again, God wants us to enter into this as well. Okay? This is what Jesus has done with Louisa. God wants for us. Her usual state was suffering. Each and every one of us is suffering, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Every one of us is suffering. This was her usual state. And I saw my adorable Jesus for a little while, present inside my heart, sleeping. And his sleep drew my soul to fall asleep together with him. See this fusion that's happening, this oneness that's happening. Happens in our nothingness. This is what God is looking for. He says, so much so that I felt all my interior powers asleep without acting anymore. So what are the powers? Our intellect, memory, and will. This is what God is calling us to. Our intellect has to be taught. Our free will is confused. Okay. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he did not know what was good or evil anymore. That's where we are. This is why we have Holy Mother Church, to teach us through our dogma and doctrine how to think correctly. This is why in the Protestant denomination, there are 40,000 denominations. They've all broken apart. Why have they broken apart? Because this is how we do it. No, this is how we do it. No, this is how we do it. It's everybody is in charge. We have the Vicar of Christ on earth. And our job, not to worry, our job is to listen. Go read Leo XIII's writings. Read Pius X's writing. Read Pius XII's writing. The Vicar of Christ is true. Okay? There are some bumps in the road, not to worry about that, but to learn, to teach our free will what to choose. And I always come back to this. The test that we were given was Humanae Vitae in 1969. Humanae Vitae, what is human life? What is it? And we failed that test. And because of failing that test, we've had in the United States alone 70 million babies aborted. We do not understand what human life is, and we destroy it. Look at the wars that we've been in. Our job is to begin to understand what God wants to tell us, what God wants to teach us. And that's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. With the Book of Heaven, Jesus is bringing us back. The catechism isn't being taught. So what is Jesus doing? He's saying, I'm going to show you a simple and easy way to come back to me. And that's what the Book of Heaven is all about. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, a new beginning is happening for all mankind. And our Lord, our God, our Master, our King is speaking to Louisa. Louisa's writing everything on paper. Why? To give us the way and the how. The kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. As we read this, our whole life changes. We can't be the same. If you're sitting down with Jesus every day and reading and Jesus is talking to you, what does that mean? Your whole interior is changing. The word of God is speaking and breathing in you. He breathes into you this Ruach of God, this breath of God, as Adam was filled with the image and likeness of God. Now, Jesus is doing that, but it's word by word. That's what he tells Louisa. I can't fill you, he says, as Adam was filled. Adam was infinite dust. God could breathe in Adam as much as he wanted. What Jesus is saying to Louisa, every word that you read, I will, it's like a puff of expanding your capacity to begin to understand this abundant life. So he says this. Louisa says this. This morning I was in my usual state. I saw my adorable Jesus just for a little while, present inside my heart. We first have to say to Jesus, and Jesus teaches Louisa this, to make our heart Jesus' throne. We surrender our heart to Jesus and say, this is your throne. Present inside her heart, sleeping in his very sleep, drew my soul to fall asleep together with him, so much so that I felt all my interior powers asleep, intellect, memory, and will, without acting anymore. Do you see the silence that's there? Not murmuring, I should do this, I should say this, I must do this, I must. It's peace with Jesus. At times I tried to get out of that sleep, but I could not. And then blessed Jesus woke up for a little while and sent his breath. See, here it is. He's breathing into Louisa and to me three times. And it seemed to me that Jesus became all absorbed in me. This is how we are to live. We are to begin to live this abundant life. we're absorbed in Jesus and Jesus is absorbed in us. It's to begin to live a life that is astonishing. It's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. Louisa is the little newborn of the divine will. And Jesus says, I want to offer this to you as well. We have the saints who have taught us about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We have the saints that talk to us about divine mercy. Jesus is talking about sharing in divinity. It's everything that the church has been taught to this point. Now Jesus says, now I'm closing some doors and opening others. Why? To begin to live this abundant life. And this is what Jesus says. He says, and Louisa says this, Jesus woke me and sent his breath into me three times for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it seemed to me that Jesus became all absorbed in me. Afterwards, it seemed to me that Jesus was drawing those three breaths he had sent me back into himself again. And I found myself all transformed in him. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He breathes into us, and then we breathe this divinity, this divine back into him. We give back to him what is of God. So here Louisa shows Jesus is all absorbed in Louisa. Okay. This is what God wants to do with us. And then this breath that he breathes in, we breathe out back to him, and sent me back into himself again. And I found myself all transformed in God. Image and likeness of God. It's more than being good and holy and saintly. That's what God gave to the saints for the last 2,000 years, doing the will of God. But living in the will of God is this, to be all transformed in God. This is why, yes, it's important to read. Yes, it's important to pray. But when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I mean, if you have to read, St. Teresa says, if you can't think of an I love you to God, and that should be every heartbeat, every thought, every word, every deed, every breath that gives to God, I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you. She says, read a line and then focus on God. Read, and if you can't think of anything else, read another line and then focus on God until you can't focus on him. See, we have to discipline ourselves to do this until finally you can be in that state of true contemplation, entering and recognizing our nothingness, and recognizing how great our God is, how magnificent our God is. And that's what it means to be all transformed in him. He wants us to participate in this share of divinity. The priest says it every day at Holy Mass. Why are these words being said? Just to say something? No. We say to Jesus, yes, I want to share in your divinity. So Jesus says to us, do you want to know how you're going to do that? You go, yes. How do we do that? Jesus says, read the book of heaven. St. Padre Pio would say, I mentioned this once before to the people who would show up in Giovanni Rotondo, you know, from Corrado. Why are you here? Go back to Louisa. He would be, and they would go, he's so angry. It was because he knew of Louisa. They used to, this will come out in time, but they both would bivocate to each other. They would know each other in a way that saints do. And this is something that's going to be so glorious. When God reveals Louisa to the world, and God's going to do that, he says he's going to do it. When that happens, everyone will say, I want this life that Louisa possesses. I want this life. How do we begin? And Louisa basically says you begin by being baptized. This is the, when you're baptized, through holy baptism, we're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. We enter into God's image. How do you enter into God's likeness? He breathed into me three times, and I found myself all transformed in him. He breathed into her. She breathed back into God. What is God's? Who can say what was happening in me because of these divine breaths? I have no words to express that inseparable union, oneness between Jesus and me. Do you want this? Do you want this inseparable union between Jesus and you? It should be immediately, yes, I want this. See, when Jesus speaks to Louisa and we're reading this, Jesus wants to see how we respond. If it was, well, that's really nice what Jesus did. No, I have no words to express that inseparable union between Jesus and me. We're supposed to say, Jesus, I want this life that you breathed into Louisa. Jesus says, I have to see and I have to give to each person what they want. This is what it means for Jesus to make a divine masterpiece of us. His masterpiece, where he said, I will show all of heaven what I have done in this soul. I want to show all of heaven what I have done. The Lord has got great plans. And he's looking at us and he's saying very clearly, and if you can't see it, it's very, very clear. He says what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. The kingdom is coming. He breathes this into Louisa. This abundant life is what Jesus wants us to begin to see. Look at this. I found just put those words on your mirror in your bathroom. So in the morning you can read, I found myself all transformed in God. I have no words to express that inseparable union between Jesus and me. This is more than the mystical marriage. This is more than that. The mystical marriage is for the saints. What Jesus has in store for the little children of the divine will, he says, basically leaves the saints behind. Why? It's now sharing in divinity. After this, it seemed I was able to wake up. And Jesus, breaking the silence, told me, my daughter, I, God, looked and looked again. I, God, searched and searched again, going through the whole earth. But upon you, Louisa, I fixed my gazes. Upon you, Louisa, I found my satisfactions. And I, God, chose you, Louisa, among a thousand of the best. This gives us a clue why, when the world gets to know of Louisa, and it's not to be known at this point, but when the world gets to know Louisa, everyone will be a baptized Catholic. Everyone will begin to share in divinity. This is God's plan. Look what he did with St. Faustina. He told St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is Divine Mercy. The final devotion. We've had that for 20 years now. Now what's coming? Jesus, the kingdom. Everyone will be Catholic. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Don't worry about a thing. God's got this planned. He has to allow the evil one to think he's got it made. But what God is doing, it's really a new beginning for everyone and for everything. So we'll end there with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name. under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Luisa. And may we all be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.